On his way to speak to the National Rifle Association president, Trump sort of threw his attorney in the Russia investigation, Rudy Giuliani, under the bus, walking back statements by Giuliani this week that Trump had reimbursed his personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, for payments made to porn star Stormy Daniels.
So Rudy knows it's a witch hunt. He started yesterday. He'll get his facts straight. He's a great guy.
For the record, he didn't start yesterday. Trump also said he wants to speak with the special counsel, Robert Mueller, but wants to be treated fairly.
Well, as the Giuliani drama is unfolding, the Trump administration is also negotiating the release of three Americans held captive in North Korea. And new jobs numbers came out showing unemployment dipped below 4%, the lowest rate since 2000. But who's hearing that? Our Friday roundtable joins us this week. Joining us from Miami, Enrique Acevedo, news anchor at Univision. Hi, Enrique.
Hi, great to be back.
And from Washington, D.C., Rick Klein, ABC News political director. Hi, Rick.
Pleased to be with you.
Okay, let's start, Rick, with a Giuliani comment from Trump. This is after Giuliani went on Fox this week, casually acknowledged what everyone had denied, that there was payment to a porn star and Michael Cohen was reimbursed. Trump went on Twitter after that, acknowledged that fact. Now saying Giuliani doesn't have his facts straight. Hardly anyone thinks that Rudy Giuliani is somebody who doesn't know what's going on. So what is going on in Trump's comment?
Rudy did not go rogue, but what he did do is blow up months worth of White House explanations and in a lot of ways make things more difficult from a legal perspective because we still don't know where exactly this money came from. The timeline does not match up if you listen to even what Rudy Giuliani is saying. So now to have President Trump blowing up that explosion, I couldn't think of a more Trumpian move to sow chaos. It's going to have to get sorted out. And as you know, it almost doesn't matter what we think in the court of public opinion. This is going to play out in courts of law. This has very real implications.
He blew up months of strategy, but did he do it on purpose?
He did not go rogue. I believe that he was working in concert with the president. That isn't to say he's working in concert with the rest of the president's legal team, but he knew what he was doing in trying to clean up one mess. He may have started some other fires.
Well, but Enrique,
it does feel like a calculated move. I mean, they want to take some punishment for lying, but not getting to the issue of campaign law.
Well, I want to get to that. Let me get to that real quick, and then you can take it. What are the legal issues that Rick mentioned? Because both Giuliani and Trump are saying no campaign funds were used. But the spirit of the law is that money can't be spent to influence an election. It doesn't matter what money it is. And lawyers who are looking at observing these comments are saying the only way that Trump can prove that aspect of the law is by showing that he often spends money to hush women. In other words, this had nothing to do with the election. Your thoughts on that?
Correct. And I think that's why we saw that series of tweets by President Trump trying to explain exactly that, that he was a monthly retainer in the case of Michael Cohen, and that with this money, Michael Cohen was doing, you know, all sorts of things that were not necessarily in the knowledge of President Trump. But I think, like I was saying, Robin, this feels like a calculated move. I don't know if it's the right strategy, though, because it not only now brings into question the credibility of the president, but of his presidency. What else has he lied about? Can we trust his word at a time of real crisis? And it leaves people like Sarah Sanders in a very tough spot. She flat out lied to the press and the American people. And when things got complicated, they threw her under the bus.
Well, let's listen to what she said yesterday. Sarah Huckabee Sanders was grilled about what was true and what was not in administration statements. Here's ABC's John Carl and Sanders' response.
How for the American people to trust or believe what is said here or what is said by the president?
We give the very best information that we have at the time.
Rick, an editorial in today's Wall Street Journal kind of echoes what Enrique was just saying, which is it says Mr. Trump should worry that Americans will stop believing anything he says. Do you think that the credibility questions are taking a greater toll or will take a greater toll than the legal ones?
Absolutely. The legal ones are significant, too. But take a look at that question again. John Carl, my colleague, asked directly, can we take the president at his word when he so blatantly disregards the facts? Sarah Sanders didn't dispute that. Instead, she just said, look, I will try to present the facts based on information as I know it. To me, it was a tacit admission that the information she's given is at best incomplete, at worst misleading from the president himself.
Well, and it feels like it's getting awfully crowded under that bus because we remember when Sean Spicer said the same exact line. We did the best with the information that we have. And now we hear Sarah Sanders saying that. Look, we could spend the entire segment on, Rudy Gate. But I just want to shift and talk about some of the other things going on in Washington that we're not hearing about. One is being referred to as Chaplain Gate. Yesterday, House Speaker Paul Ryan, who is a Catholic, rescinded his decision to force out the chaplain of the House. This is Patrick Conroy, also a Catholic priest. Now, he had refused to resign, saying this whole controversy started because he'd read a prayer before, which, you know, that's what his job is, to start the sessions with prayer. And he'd asked that all Americans benefit equally from the GOP tax plan. He said a Ryan aide told him that there was upset at that prayer, and maybe it's time we don't have a Catholic. Other congressmen expressed, you know, maybe it's time we had someone who had a family, meaning not a Catholic. What's going on here? Enrique, people are saying that this is a flashback to the 1950s when Catholics need not apply.
It feels like that. And I'm glad things got sorted out and that they're both talking now to figure out how to move forward with this, because it would set a very negative precedent to have an issue like this involved into something else, escalate into something worse. The thing is that it just adds to a very weird climate in Washington of things that are, under any other circumstance, would be a talking point for the next week. I'm guessing we'll be talking about something else in the next 24 hours, unfortunately.
Yeah, we're not even talking about the White House Correspondents' Dinner anymore. It's just been a few days.
The what?
Enrique, I just want to ask you about immigration, because this week Attorney General Jeff Sessions sent more prosecutors and immigration judges to the U.S.-Mexico border because he said immigrants seeking asylum would not be allowed to caravan or otherwise stampede the border. Here's President Trump earlier this week describing the U.S. immigration system.
A system that's under siege right now, but a system that will, in fact, hopefully be the talk of the world by the time we finish.
This was also a week when we saw seven states sue to end DACA, the Obama-era program that protects some young immigrants from deportation. How is this playing out in your world, Enrique?
For years, Jeremy, I've been listening to people like Attorney General Sessions, Donald Trump, tell immigrants that they have to get in line, that they have to come here legally. And now that they're doing exactly that, they're finding another way to discredit their purpose. Requesting asylum is perfectly legal. It's a very challenging process. It's not easy at all. We're actually on track to admitting the fewest refugees since 1980. And I think this is what's happening right now at the border with the caravan. It's Exhibit A to the need for better immigration policy. No. The president wants to build a wall and focus on enforcement. That's not going to solve the issue of refugees coming to the border, getting in line and requesting asylum, which is perfectly legal.
I want to ask about EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt. Rick, take this one. Three resignations this week, including a longtime spokeswoman, a head of security who, it turns out, worked for the National Enquirer during the campaign. His job was to send tidbits of information to the National Enquirer. He was behind buying that $40-something thousand phone booth for Scott Pruitt. Word that Scott Pruitt not only rented a room from a lobbyist in Washington, D.C., but bought a home with another lobbyist, had his travel arrangements designed by lobbyists who then got plum jobs. What's happening here? What's the future?
Robin, you left like six other scandals out there.
I know.
It's an incredible thing with Pruitt.
But he's implementing or trying to implement the Trump agenda.
That's precisely right. And all that matters ultimately for a cabinet member is, does he have the trust of the president? He's already been confirmed. Does the president have his trust? I've heard less in the last couple of days, although I think he is still on very thin ice. The sheer volume of things that are out there, the bad judgment that was displayed, maybe potentially much worse than just bad judgment, maybe conduct that could be legally actionable. It is startling. It is stunning. And he's got almost no allies left on Capitol Hill when it comes to a political perspective. He does have the support of industry. He does have the support of most conservatives who feel like he's done a good job dismantling the Obama regulatory agenda at the EPA. The question is, does the president think enough is enough?
What do you think about that? Does he have support in the White House?
So far, he does, although the White House, when you just talk about the Oval Office, others of the White House, more than glad to be on with Scott Pruitt. The only question is whether the president stands by him, and so far he has.
I want to ask you both about the Mueller investigation. Today, Trump also threw out that he wants to speak with special counsel Robert Mueller, wants to be treated fairly, but he also said things like Mueller worked for Obama. Well, Mueller also worked for Bush. So, Rick Klein, where is this going? I mean, it's been tea leaves, but Did you hear? Have you heard anything new?
Well, I interviewed Ty Cobb a couple days ago, the White House lawyer, just the day that he announced that he was stepping away and retiring. He said that there's still very active negotiations, that it's still on the table. But it's telling that he's leaving. He's being replaced by a former Clinton impeachment lawyer and Rudy Giuliani, a much more aggressive stance. And this is a week we learned also about the potential for a subpoena. So I think the chances of an actual sit-down interview have shrunken in the last couple of days with the president's rage.
Enrique, just 30 seconds, but go ahead. Yeah.
No, the fact that we saw those 49 questions leaked this week, I think it proves that the people who don't want the interview to happen are getting ahead.
Because it was assumed they were leaked from the White House side.
I was going to ask
from the president's legal team.
Yeah.
I was going to ask each of you who you think will be fired next week in the Trump White House, but I don't think we have time for it anymore. So Enrique Acevedo, a news anchor at Univision, and Rick Klein, ABC News political director, thanks to both of you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
You too. Thanks.